In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. My brothers and sisters, welcome. We have guests, special guests today with us, two deacons, fresh deacons. We have Deacon Jason with the Diocese of Jackson, and we have Deacon Colton. I think you know him, don't you? He is, there you are. I guess you are famous here. So Deacon Colton was ordained yesterday, so we are happy to have him. And he will, there you are. And he will preach to us today. How you can clap for the third time.
A quick word of thank you to Father Adam for allowing me to be here today. Although it was really Father Mike who gave me the permission. So Father has to endure my homily twice. So thank you.
Nobody asked me.
It's also nice to see a lot of familiar faces in the congregation today since I was here just a year ago. And it's great to be back as a deacon. So we hear in today's gospel this verse. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. Doesn't it seem quite strange that the disciples are rejoicing at Jesus leaving them? It would seem to me that they would be quite sad. You may, as I often have, thought of the ascension as just this moment where Jesus and his disciples are hanging out, they're chatting. Jesus looks down at his watch, sees that it's time to go, and says, "Well, guys, I've got a cloud to catch. I got to go up to heaven. I guess I'll see you when I see you," right? The cloud comes, takes him away. He's waving to disciples are waving to him, and he disappears. But the ascension is a little more than just that. For, the surrounding events, such as the passion of our Lord, his sufferings and death, that really gets our attention because it's so stark, right? And we get all excited over the resurrection because, and rightly so, because when's the last time you've seen someone rise from the dead? And Pentecost is interesting because there's tongues of fire coming upon the apostles. But the ascension, what is the ascension all about? And why does it leave the disciples rejoicing? You would think it would be a sad occasion because they sadly and fearfully hid in the upper room when Jesus left them the first time when he died. So what is different? Well, we have to remember that Jesus speaks and acts in very Jewish ways, for he himself was a Jew. So in order for us to understand this great mystery, we have to go back really to where the New Testament, you could say, lies hidden. That is, the Old Testament. And towards the beginning of the Old Testament, we hear about this incredible, miraculous event. And it was so significant that the rest of history for the Israelite people would be would surround this one event. Everything revolved around it. And this event was the liberation of the people to slavery in Egypt, to Pharaoh, the crossing of the Red Sea. This is commonly known as the Exodus. And so this was the pinnacle moment in salvation history for the Israelite people. Well, what happened after the Exodus? Well, the Israelite people wander in the desert for 40 years. And they are headed to the land promised by God that, as the scriptures say, are flowing with milk and honey. Or in other words, it would provide everything for them. It would fulfill their need. But it would take 40 years to get there. And the whole time, through the Exodus, the crossing of the Red Sea, through the wilderness, they are led by what's called a glory cloud. And so they arrive at the promised land, they're at the threshold, they have to cross another river to get there. And although it was Moses that was their leader, it wasn't Moses who led them into the promised land. It was his successor, Joshua, or in Hebrew, Yeshua. And so let's take a step back real quick and look at the outline of events. We have slavery in Egypt, liberation from this slavery through this miraculous work of God. They are led by a glory cloud. They wander in the desert for 40 years. And then Yeshua leads them into the promised land. This sounds quite familiar if we look at the life and events of Jesus. Jesus becomes man, and as St. Paul tells us, he takes the form of a slave. Then in this greatest and miraculous event ever in history, Jesus rises from the dead. You could say the great exodus from the slavery of death. Then he remains on the earth teaching for 40 days. And 40 days after the resurrection, on a cloud, he goes up to heaven. And Jesus, or he would have been known by his peers, Yeshua, ascends into heaven. Not to a sanctuary made by human hands, as a reading to the Hebrew says, but heaven itself, the true promised land. And so, the drama of salvation history is all being what's called recapitulated in Christ. What does that mean? In other words, salvation history is all being summed up in the one person of Jesus Christ. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the reason the disciples were rejoicing. Because they got it. They understood what was happening in the life events of Jesus. And I would say to us that we too should rejoice in this moment. Because today we receive a very special gift. That gift is one of hope. You see, the resurrection of Jesus awakens our faith. The gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which we will celebrate soon, stirs in us charity, love, to go out of ourselves. But the ascension is what arises within us, hope. And I would say we're brought to hope for two reasons. First, left to its own natural powers, our humanity does not have access to the Father's house, to God's life and happiness. But Christ reopens that access for us. We lost it due to the fall of Adam and Eve, but now through Christ, we, the church, the mystical body of Christ, have a place in the Father's house. And we should call to mind, too, that Christ didn't ascend into humanity as a spiritual being, but rather in his humanity. And as the reading to the Hebrews reminded us, by the new and living way he opened for us through the veil that is his flesh, that is, his humanity. You know, we often hear when someone passes away, someone say something to this effect. Well, now he or she is an angel in heaven. But I would ask, why would we want to be angels? We should want to be like our Savior, Christ. And Christ became man, and he ascends to the Father in his humanity with his resurrected body. And this is our cause for rejoicing and our cause for hope. Our second reason for hope is given to us just through a small detail in Luke's gospel today. Luke tells us this. He led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. And so I ask you, what remains in the hands of Christ? His wounds. And this is our cause for rejoicing. Why? Because our Lord Jesus shows us that he is ascending to the Father with his resurrected, yet still wounded body. And through this, he patiently and lovingly asks us to unite our sufferings, our trials, our sacrifices to his very own. And how do we do that? Well, we do that first in our daily prayer, that throughout the day, maybe in the evening, we offer to God all that was our trials throughout the day, to his. And specifically, we do it in Holy Mass. In just a little bit, Father will say, this is my sacrifice and yours. And so at that time, we should offer our sacrifices to his. And I say nothing, I repeat, nothing. Not one ounce of our sufferings in this life are unable to become redemptive for ourselves and for others. And this is the good and beautiful news of the resurrection and ascension into heaven. How could we not rejoice? For even our sufferings have meaning in this life. To you mothers out there on this special day, you have a great and holy vocation in this life. It's a very beautiful vocation. But with it comes many trials and many sufferings. If I gave a list, you probably could double that list. So I'm not going to give a list of the trials and sufferings and sacrifices you make. I'd probably forget many of them. But to you on this day, Jesus is saying, give me your sufferings. Unite them to mine, for I bring them to the heart of the Father. And we see the beauty of motherhood seen exemplified in Our Lady, in Mary. For did she not suffer greatly at seeing her only son be crucified and tortured as she sat at the foot of the cross? But she offered her sorrow with his. And she now rejoices with him in that heavenly promised land. So again, I say, mothers, thank you for your vocation. So today is a day where we rejoice in hope. We rejoice because we celebrate Christ bursting open the gates of heaven for us once more. And this great mystery marks definitively, that means for eternity, the entrance of Jesus' humanity into heaven, from where he will come again. And we rejoice because he takes with him his wounds, which means he takes his body, the church, our wounds, our sufferings with him. And so Jesus is calling us to follow him. Throughout the Gospels, he says, follow me. And when Jesus first called his disciples to follow him, they were scared to death because all they saw was the cross that laid ahead. But today, we hear them rejoicing. And so I say, let us too follow him to Calvary. Let us pick up our own crosses, unite all of our sufferings to his, so that we too may follow him one day into the heavenly promised land.